This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Now, I'd like to welcome a very special friend, a good old colleague of mine, a great person we've known for many years, Lizzie Craig from the VAC's Positive Living
Centre. He's called you old again.
No, sorry, Lizzie. Welcome, Lizzie. Welcome to Well, Well, Well. Now, can you tell us something of your background in HIV and your role at the PLC to start with?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'll just let everybody know that I am a grandmother, so I am ageing.
It doesn't show.
Look, I've been a nurse for a long time, and I did about 35 years with the Royal District Nursing Service, which were wonderful times of my life. And for a lot of people, I don't know if you know, but the Royal District Nursing Service was the first service to put their hands up and go out and look after people in the early 80s
that
were newly diagnosed with HIV. Since then, I've done a degree in counselling, and I have worked probably since the early 80s in the era of HIV, and I did about 8 years at the Alfred the liaison district nurse, and that's, John, where you and I had strong affiliation,
yes.
Isn't
Good
it?
Good bond.
So what is my role at the PLC? Well, I'm known as a client care and support officer, but we'll just scrap titles because I just let you know what I do. When I first started there, which is 10 years ago now, it was pretty amazing the amount of people that just sit around and talk and tell me their stories, which is a bit of a passion for me because I love narratives and narrative therapy. And I got some lovely stories from so many of the men that were ageing. And a lot of these men were pre-heart.
Yep.
Who had comorbidities already. Some of them, in my eyes, were not ageing. Some, even now, are only in their 50s and living with many comorbidities. So I took quite an interest in all of this and started documenting a few of their stories and listening to stories and came up with some trends that you were talking about, Murray, before, that you can pick out trends from the data you collect and the stories that you collect. And just as a fluke, when I was doing a bit of research, I saw a few papers. One was by a Canadian fellow called Charles Emlett, and he had the same 9 major points that the clients here had identified as their concerns and issues. And I thought, well, you know, this kind of tells me that these are really global issues.
Absolutely.
And obviously, am I getting off the track here, John?
No, not at all.
So it's just really stigma and discrimination, as David said before.
That would be the number one, wouldn't it?
Number one, and it's massive. And and it's a bit sad to say that 30 years on, we haven't really learnt a lot, but that's a topic maybe for another day.
We'll come back and we'll talk about that,
yeah,
shall we?
Because we really have gone back to day one, I believe, in this area. Fear of contagion, people living alone.
We'll come back and we'll have a chat, Lizzie.
And talk to it.
Do you want to tell us more about your link with the We Can Do project? Because you're a health
educator. Yes, certainly. Well, with the We Can Do program, I've been asked to be one of the health coaches. So people can ring me and talk to me about any issues that they might like to address.
Which is pretty special because you're one of three.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think the opportunity is great, as David said before, particularly for people that are living rurally or those people that can't get into a centre or who are afraid of being outed, which a lot of our older particularly gay men who have lived pre-heart, have lived the Stonewall generation, if you like, have always had to hide because of repercussions of going into jail or whatever, are now faced with getting older and getting some comorbidities. With the group of people I'll be seeing through this project, they will be a little bit younger, hopefully then be able to address these issues of diabetes, heart. How best can you address this? What's the best way for you to move forward to help maybe prevent the severity or even the existence of some of these comorbidities when they're older?
Now, Lizzie, I had the good fortune to see you speak at a major conference last year. the Tri-State Conference on Ageing, yes. And you were a keynote speaker in that, bring to the forefront the issues around ageing with HIV and also the LGBTI ageing issues.
Yes, It was a very interesting talk, and it was a very interesting reaction from the audience.
The response was good because it's almost like sometimes they hadn't thought it through, or they didn't want to hear some of the news. They hadn't thought some of this whole LGBTI stuff through. So, what are the challenges that you found and you presented on those issues?
Yeah, well, the overall picture of them was for reform and revolution, and I really came to the conclusion at the end of it for aging HIV. Aging, it is reform and revolution. But basically, I think I was asked to speak here because of the national GBLTI aged care strategy that's now in place.
That's right.
And for people to get accreditation, nursing homes to get accreditation, they need to make sure that they actually have these strategies in place and are acting upon them. So nursing homes now are taking this to the forefront and asking for speakers. Some of the things that I've found in nursing homes when I've gone in is that a lot of the staff are afraid, and being a district nurse in the 80s and knowing what that was like to respond to HIV and to AIDS, a lot of the staff that I worked with then were afraid of taking the disease back home to their families. There was a lot of myths and misconceptions around HIV, and unfortunately they are very much in the forefront today. So I think that
Some of those myths still exist, you
think?
Like
if I have a cup of tea with someone, can I get HIV from that cup of tea?
Really? Even today?
Even today, some families are separating cutlery, drinking
That's
utensils.
Ridiculous.
Yes, it sounds ridiculous to us, but it's actually what is happening.
And also in the nursing home or aged care sector, not every gay person is actually positive and vice versa.
Well, not everybody that has HIV is gay.
That's correct.
And not everyone who is gay has HIV. But unfortunately, you'll find that if someone does have HIV, that will be the forefront of why they're in hospital. I guess I'll try and clarify that a little bit for you. I did have a client go to hospital just for a routine procedure. His HIV totally under control, an older man in his 70s. And one of the nurses came up and was reading his drug chart. She was doing a refresher and said, "What is all this?" And he said, "Oh, they're my HIV tablets." And she went away and came back with gloves, goggles, gown, just to talk to him. So we're talking about now, 30 years on.
So what's the way around that? How do you educate people to stop that behaviour?
Well, we need to educate full stop. I don't think there's been much of a campaign since the Grim Reaper, not that that was the best campaign in the world, but we need to have more education. We need to be able to go into nursing homes, into community care settings where people go into people's homes to shower. Universities for nurses and doctors need to take this on board. People need to be savvy around HIV again. They also need to be savvy around disclosure.
Right.
Absolutely.
And we've had so many people in the last year that have been disclosed in public hospitals.
And I think this really picks up on where the We Can Do project works. Hopefully will work well, is that...
No, it will, David.
It will. No, it definitely will. Is that we will help people become self-reliant or resilient so they can challenge people too. So if you go out to a service provider, whether that's a medical, financial, whatever the case may be, you can go and say, as a confident individual, this is what I need as a HIV positive person.
Yeah, when you're getting older too, when you are feeling frail, you feel like you don't have a voice, it's important that people will stand up and put their hand up and be a voice. And that's what I try to be for many of the clients that I see at the Positive Living Centre. I try to be their voice. I try to advocate for them. And I'm 67 years of age, and you know what? One of these days I'm going to need a bed in a nursing home. At the moment, financially, it's probably going to be standing room only. But, you know, we do need to support each other. And a lot of the young people out there in the gay community, please see that a lot of these older people have been your forerunners for your rights now. Please support them in their ageing process.
Wow, the hour's just flown by.
Again, it has. But that's because it's been really interesting having
it, both has been really interesting.
David and Lizzie, I could listen to you a lot more. Lizzie, just going back to what you were saying, with the aged care providers and education needed across the community, and we need to look after each other, are there any other challenges you see in the sector, in the community at large, around ageing with HIV or LGBTI?
Well, apart from ageism.
Ageism itself, yes.
And, you know, there isn't a huge respect, unfortunately, for people that are growing older, and we really need to look at that and educate ourselves. I think around GBLTI and ageing, in a lot of the facilities that look after people that are ageing, the greatest factor is fear. And this was how it was in the early 80s. If we can break down the fear factor, look after people who are looking after GBLTI people, firstly, then we will get the care that we're needed for people living within nursing homes.
Absolutely.
But we also need, and I can go on forever, as you know, but, you know, like people are socially isolated also. People remain closeted in nursing homes many times. They're fearful of lesser care, which unfortunately has been documented as fact.
Sure.
We need volunteer programs to go out and visit people in nursing homes, give them a sense of being part of the community.
Yeah.
And with the narratives that I listen to, it's a narrative is a really powerful tool, and it helps people to go back to a place where maybe they won't go back to again.
That's good.
And
I think with services like you and people like you at the PLC, the Positive Living Centre, it's a good linkage and a good support mechanism. And I think with the We Can Do project, trying to enable and empower people to be actively engaged with their own health outcomes and to make those connections. I think this is a good marriage between practical research doing a project and the services we offer at VAC.
Yeah, and I'm sure if people that were, you know, and maybe even myself in my 40s, if I'd have been brave enough to look at some of these issues and address the issues early, and I can relate to you, a young man at the moment who's come to me with, has been diagnosed with diabetes and very fearful because his father's just gone into a nursing home and was able to say to him through the We Can Do program that if we can work on some of these issues that may not come to fruition in the next 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, no good. Now, David, can you just go over those contact points again, the numbers?
Okay, the phone number again, and it's toll-free, so just paying your normal flat rate, and it's 1-800-004-122. And the email is refer@wecando.org.au, or just go to the website www.wecando.org.au.
And if somebody just has an inquiry, they can just ring that number. There's no commitments.
No commitments, nothing. Yeah, we can't force you to be involved. We hope you do.
And it's all confidential.
Oh, yes.
Look, guys, love your work. Thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And I've actually learned a lot more about the project that you guys are involved with. But next week, coming up on Well, 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 we'll have another bumper show, won't we, Jack?
We certainly will. We're here every week, 12 to 1. Well, 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 the team from the Victorian AIDS Council. And I'd like to thank Mark. Mark, our panel, who stepped in to help us.
He has helped us. He's taken the edge off.
We had to feed him chocolates, of course.
We did.
Turkish delights go a long
Turkish
way.
Delights. So, Lizzie and David, thank you very much for giving your insights into ageing with HIV and the LGBTI issues. So, thanks very much.
Thank you.
This is Joy 94.9.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre, on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.